Yeah, so I was in, I actually just came back from a place that I shouldn't mention, but I'll tell you anyway. I just came back from Las Vegas. Yeah, it was a great time partying. We had such a great time.
the NADA show?
This is being taped, right?
Did you go to NADA?
The NADA?
Yeah, actually, you're right. So there was a show there that that I was present at, and the incredible part, like, basically it was a vendor show, all the different vendors that have a presentation on what they do and all the different new technologies and et cetera of a business. It's called NADA, car business. Anyway, so when one of the things that was there was, like, at different vendors try to grab your attention. Some try to get you, like, you know, what are you calling, Yiddish tchotchkes. Yeah, they give you stuff, right? Give you free stuff. Here it comes. You want a USB. Cup. You want a cup. You know, USB. You want a logo. You want a golf ball. You want a hat. You want a, you know, this, you get, like,
and you want it.
You know, you get. No, actually, you don't. You know, it's garbage. So, like, what am I doing? You carry it around the whole time. Like, no. Actually, you get a bag. You actually do. You get a bag that carries.
Sometimes you get, like, cool AirPods or something.
Anyway, right here. So, and in certain places, they had, I gotta say this in a BC way. So they had certain types of people that would try to, like, nice, attract you to this to their place. And so I'm doing big U-turns. I'm going like this around, just going. I didn't even care what they were at. I was just going around like U-turns. And then, so at certain points, like, someone saw me going like a U-turn, and they started, like, following me, right? And it was like a chase almost. Like, I was bobbing and weaving through the different vendors as they were chasing me around. And then, like, there was two of them, so they cornered me in the, like, this. And I said, okay, what do you want? Just take my stuff here and take it all.
Then turn into car chase.
Yeah. So the idea of, I was just thinking of in I kind of maybe inspired the topic that I was going to talk about tonight, is a lot of times we're going through this maze in life, and we think we have a purpose of going. We think we have a purpose of trying to achieve, and we lose our. The idea of where we're going and what we're trying to achieve is not always clear. Meaning, trying to get to a place, but you never have an address of where you're trying to really get to. And we get so caught up in getting things completed and getting things done, and yet, we don't focus on where we're really going and what's that purpose and what are we trying to get to. And in essence, that is a big fault and trap in the world that we live in. Massive trap. Meaning, you know, I lived in Manhattan for a while. And till this day, I think it's there's no difference, whether it was now or 20 years ago. The pace and the feeling is very, very, very much the same. You go on, I remember I used to, you know, walk from 53rd and 1st to 53rd and Lex. That's where I used to work. And, you know, it's like you go there during any time where it's like, quote unquote work hours, which is basically almost all the time, right? you know, if you walk any time at, let's say, 8 a.m. or 7:30, 7:45, and you're like, you just, like, you feel like you're a part of a rush. It's like everyone's just like, and it's fast. It's like, you know, it's not like here. There's a lot of, you know, people are chilling. You can, you know, like, I remember when I first came to Los Angeles. I think I met someone in Santa Monica or something. And I was like, man, do people actually work in this place? Like, the cafes are packed. And, like, people are hanging. And it wasn't, like, tourists. It was, like, you know, people that actually live here. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, it's like, 11 o'clock and you just, like, it's not business meetings. It wasn't, like, you know, professionals and sitting in with, you know, with iPads or tablets out and being serious. It was like, you know, hey, can I have the cafe? And, like, you know, you see the interaction. It's like, wait, what are you guys doing? Like, how are you guys are, like, just chilling all day? Like, what are we doing here? So the process of, like, that motion of movement of we're going, we're moving. It's like, you know, you're in that zone. Everyone's like, okay, I got to do this. I got to get this done. I got to get moving. I got to do this thing, and this is the next thing, and that. And everyone's so incredibly busy. But what happens? There's no purpose. There's no goal. There's no end game. There's no end game. Where are we trying to get to? We're trying to get things done. Granted, there's certain things that we get done, but there is no end game. There is no end game. This idea, there is one, the person who created IBM. He created IBM was Tom Watson. President CEO, Tom Watson. So he used to have this thing over his, over his desk in his office. Very simple statement, very basic, and so, you know, like, it's not even so profound. It's so basic. What did it say? I want to take a guess.
Breathe.
Close. But what I'm gonna say is very close to that. Yeah. What?
Think.
You heard this before?
Sort of.
Okay.
I haven't.
Really? You serious?
Well, then that used to be their...
That's what it said. I know someone who also worked in IBM. He's like 90-something. He also has a sign that says think on.
Oh, that's why. Oh, that's very cool. That's where he got it, I'm sure. So it actually says think. That's what it said. Or his office, think. But it's not think about it. I just said think about it, right? So... In IBM, did they not have incredibly intelligent people, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Right, especially when they started, right? When they first started, the cream of the crop, the best of the best, mm-hmm. You know, from the best schools, from the best experience, like cream of the crop. So why did he need to have a sign that said, "Think, you have the best, you have the brightest"? Because intelligence and having aptitude doesn't translate to thinking.
Creativity.
Right? And creativity doesn't, that's true too, doesn't translate into thinking. Thinking has to be a real conscious decision. Which most people, even if they're highly intelligent, even if they're highly intelligent, don't take the time to actually think. And what is the most critical aspect in trying to think? Where am I going? What's the purpose? What am I doing this all for? Where's the goal? What's the purpose? And what am I doing this all for? Basic questions. So I heard an example from Ben Sion Schaefer. He's a great example, and it took me to heart because it was karate. And I was very much involved in karate for a very long time, you know, when I was growing up. So it was a critical thing. But the example is a brilliant example. So he says, you know, if imagine a kid that starts karate. I started karate when I was 6 years old, right? You start karate when you're 6 years old. And you work really hard. You know, you train, you get the kicks down, you get the forms down, the katas, right? The the how to punch, how to do certain stances. You get it, you're solid. You get your yellow belt after about, let's say, a year. Right? You worked hard, you did everything, you put in all the efforts. Then what happens? Your parents are in the military. So what usually happens when you're in the military? You move around a lot. So then you move to the next town because your parents moved. And now you're at seven years old, 8 years old. You find the next place. But guess what? Is it the same style most likely in the small hick town that they moved from to? No. They found out they went from Korean karate to Shotokan, right? So now he has to start all over again, right? So he starts all over again, starts learning the different stances, start learning, you know, there's similarities. Okay, there's punches and kicks. Certain ones are the same, side kick, front kick. All these things are very similar, right? So he starts learning, but he starts, it's different stances and different forms and different techniques. And some was more based on using the legs, some was more based on the arms and different things. So he's focusing on that. So he finally, after a year, he gets his chance to get his yellow belt, and he passes, gets his yellow belt. But unfortunately, his parents get a new assignment. So he has to move again, and he moves to another hick town. And there he starts learning, you know, jiu-jitsu. Right? And jiu-jitsu is a completely different form, right? It's more wrestling style and grappling. And now he's back to square one. And again, he does that for a year. And then his parents move again. So he's gone now, let's say, for 4 years. Studied for 4 years. In 4 years, I became a black belt. Right? 4 years. 4 years of consistent study.
That's it?
Huh?
That's it to get a black belt?
Yeah. First level black belt. Yeah.
First
level black belt. So in 4 years of training, of heavy training, of solid training, I became a black belt, right? 4 years of this poor kid, he's still?
Yellow.
A yellow belt in four different types. Sure. Now, is he an expert?
No.
He's an expert in none of them. Mm-hmm. Comparatively, you put him up to fight a black belt, how will he do?
Not well.
Really?
Very poorly. I mean, a 4-year trained, really good trained black belt, how will he do? Very poorly. They trained for 4 years. This guy trained for 4 years. This guy put in all his effort. This guy put in all his effort. What happened? Why?
Focus.
Because he never built on the focus, never built on the goal, never built on the purpose. Realize this in our life. Think about it in our own life. Plug it into your own life. How does it work? When you're a kid, what are you into? What are you into?
Games.
Huh? Games, right? I'll give you, you know, you're when you're five, six years old, what makes you like life is meaningful? What is the purpose? What are you doing when you're 5, 6?
Toys.
Whoever has the best toys is the coolest kid. Remember this?
I mean,
right? Everyone remember this point, right? Whoever at 5, 6 years old, if you had the coolest toys,
you had the best house to go to.
You had the best house, you were the most popular kid. All right? Fast forward when you're 10. What's the cool thing? How do you become cool?
Video
technology.
Games.
Technology. Okay, maybe I'm not familiar with that, okay? But you start to fast forward to when you're 13, it's now more
sports.
And when you're now 16, it's now what?
Driving.
What?
Cars.
Okay, maybe cars.
Girls.
What?
Girls.
Girls, popularity, if you're popular, remember the popular?
Sports.
Remember in high school, that whole popularity nonsense?
Yeah.
Remember, this one's popular. That one's popular. This one's popular. Oh, I'm not popular as that one, but this one's popular. Oh, I'm with the cool people. Well, that person's not with the cool people, right?
It's been digitized
now. I don't even know.
It's statistical.
Yeah, it's all digitized.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's Instagram.
Are you serious?
You have more followers. You have more followers than I do. Your dog has 1.4 million followers.
Crazy.
If you're popular
or not. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess so, right?
Yeah.
Crazy.
But if you don't have that stuff.
So
then you're not
talking. So that in, I mean, think about it. That was like in high school, the most important thing, like how popular, right? Did you go to the dance with this person or were you in this cool clique with this group? Think of like, you look back on yourself, you're like embarrassed of even talking about that stuff. Like, was that really me? I was like, I wanted to be cool with that people and that I felt good if I was with this person or that. You just kind of like, I don't know. You look back on you're like, was that really me? I'm like embarrassed. No?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? And other people are like, no. I'm still doing that today. No, I hope not. Right?
Some of them didn't turn out so hot.
Right. Yeah.
You look back.
Especially now if you start looking back, you know, you can look back at where your those cool people in high school, they're not so cool anymore for the most part, right? At least
after high school football, there ain't much.
Yeah. So then the next step of life, college. Go to college. What's important? What's important in college?
Social.
Drinking.
Social.
Sports. And hopefully at maybe down at the bottom rung, like grades, right? Right.
Oh yeah.
Education. Right. In today, university is you know the opposite of the higher level of education. It's like the we should call it the lower level of education. Anyway, but the idea, you look at the next stages of life. You look at the next stages of life, and you're almost like it's almost embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing. Like really, I was really into toys that much. I was really, really, really into like sports that much and watching sports that much. I was really, really into that popularity, that whole scene. Like that was really me. I was really into like that social club clicky thing and how much we drank and how much I can drink and how cool I was in that aspect. Again, maybe we're still, some of us are still in that moment. I can see like those moments that people are smiling like, oh. Anyway, and then the next stage of life, now where you are, think about the next stage of life where you are. It's the idea of career and making money and where am I going to be, you know, how successful am I going to be in my career and where am I going in my career and what the next steps of my life in. So, and then one more step is after that, you know, hopefully, you know, you get to some level of success in quotes financially, and then you're worried about your reputation. How much did I get? How much, you know, respectability am I in? What position am I in? Am I higher in that level, on that level? Have I achieved the higher level of my upper management? Am I in this position? All depending, again, of your where you are. And then peak of life, or not, shouldn't say peak, but towards the end is what?
Reflection of that?
Is now all your pretty much retirement is worried about your health.
So you're a slave until you die.
Think about it. Yeah. Think about every moment. Every moment. Every moment. Think about it as you're breaking down. Right? As you're breaking it down, as you break it down, look at different steps of life. You're like, the currency doesn't add up.
Nope.
It doesn't add up to the last stage, the last stage, the last stage, the last stage. And every stage kind of looks silly, more silly to the next. Right? The last stage is you look back and you're like, really, that was me? I was really doing that? I was so into that? Ah, it's nothing. That means nothing now. Now I'm on to the next. Oh, really? That stage, it doesn't really mean that. I was so, you know, even let's fast forward to that end stage when you're like, your health, you're worried about your health. And everything else, I was worried about making so much money and staying to the office till so late at night. And I didn't have a relationship and this and that. I didn't stay on. And you look back and you're like, wait a minute. That really wasn't that important. Like, that was really me? I was really doing that? That was what was so important to me. Like now it's kind of almost seems frivolous and meaningless. Right? The idea of the currency in life is the same analogy that we just talked about. You never fully focused and developed. You never fully focused and developed that goal. You were focused on getting the job done, but you were never focused on figuring out what is that job? What are you here for? Where's the GPS? What are you going? What is the point? What am I trying to really achieve? It was never completely solidified for you to get to a point. In essence, you never become, in the example I said, you never become the black belt. You're always that yellow belt jumping from the next stage to the next stage to the next stage, but never building and finding where you're actually going. There is a, example when I was living in New York, the famous question, and it's here also, I hear it, it's also. And I specifically hold myself from when I meet new people, I specifically remind myself not to say, what do you do? What do you mean, what do you do? I live life. What do you mean? When people ask me that question, like, what do you do? I feel like saying, like, yeah, I try to live life to the fullest. That's what I do.
They're looking for a one-dimensional answer.
Right? And what do you do is clearly the question. Obviously, I'm not a fool. Everyone knows. And that's what the famous question in New York was, because whether you're going to get continued the conversation with the person or say, oh, okay, thank you. I think I go get another drink. Bye. You know, like it depends. Was the next answer to that? What do you do? Right.
Yeah.
So if you said, oh, I'm an equity trader. I'm the head of the desk. Oh, really? Oh, nice. Right. And if you're like, oh, I'm the first level accountant, I just got an internship there. Bye. Yeah. Right? That's the level of what you do, in essence, is like who you are. That defines who you are. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And what do I do? What do you do?
I guess it's just personality. Because when I ask that question, for instance, I think it tells you a lot about that person. I'm not judging just
I get it.
That.
I get it, but I'm just saying in the essence of where we are in the society, I'm not saying you, of course you want to get to know the person, okay, well, what are your interests? That's part of your interest. There's definitely more of a detailed understanding of a person by what they're interested in and what they do for a career. It's an element of a personality of a person.
You a lot about, like,
for sure.
Intelligent,
for sure, but it doesn't. What I'm trying to say, in our society, it defines the person.
Yeah.
Defines the person.
Okay, you're right.
It's a total definition of a person. What and there in essence, that's why it's become the language. What do you do instead of what do you? What is your profession? Or what do you do for a profession? You know, add in what do you do for a profession. Now it's the profession, not what do you do in life. What's your profession?
What do you do for a living?
Right? The essence in Jewish life is completely different. Now, it's really, really difficult. And in essence, it's not fair. It's almost not fair. If we go back to our example of the kid, right, who's 10 years old and so into his technology of, whatever it is, Nintendo back in the day, right? And that was like it, playing Nintendo was like when you get home from school, it was like that was the goal of like I can't wait and we're going to play this game in Tecmo, if it was Tecmo Bowl, and like you're going to win it and you're going to be, and then when you win it, you're it's like life is complete. There's nothing more, right? It's just like nothing more. So right, and you do like that move, and anyway, right? So Ron still has it, right? Anyway, no, he didn't get Tecmo Bowl. I told him to get it. Okay. Anyway, the the idea of what do we really expect? At 10 years old, you're going to ask a kid and should have developed idea of what where he wants to get to in the rest of his life? Really? That's the expectation? Answer is, yeah, correct. Because in Jewish life, again, me myself included, obviously, the answer is no. But we'll get there in a second. In regular, and hopefully and when we create our families and have our own children, we will be able to establish from a young age what's the goal, what's the purpose, where you are going. How to become a black belt in life. We're getting there. We're building. I'm going to give you at least one idea. But the idea is, if you were building our families in such a fashion, such a way, the goal and the purpose is to actually set up that everyone in our family unit, again, it doesn't mean that they'll all be the same, they'll have the same jobs. They won't. It won't mean that they'll all have the same interests and tastes. They won't. But they will have a GPS in life on what life is about, where they are going, and how to achieve it. Even from a young age. And it won't be because, oh, I know at 10 years old, I'm going to say I want to be a fireman. Okay, you'll change. You won't be a fireman. You're going to go into be a in real estate or a doctor or a pharmacy, right? But that's not going to be the end all or be all of who you are. And in this, we have a very cryptic, but beautiful, beautiful piece of Gemara that tells us, the Gemara tells us like this. It says, when a person does a psia gasa means is hurried. Like, again, going back to the New York example, that's what I think of a psia gasa. Psia gasa is like full speed, running, don't stop. Get out of my way, I'm going to trample you, right? If you don't run fast, you're going to be trampled. That is a psia gasa. So the Gemara tells us a psia gasa, a person that is constantly running, it takes 1/500th of the vision of the light in his eyes. It takes away your vision.
What is the number again?
1/500th. I've yet to figure out there's definitely Kabbalistic gematria to that number, and I was looking it up. I didn't have enough time to really delve into the sources. I tried to look up a few on the number, and I couldn't find anything that matched. So there's still, if anyone else wants to look into a little homework, and I remember there was other things, but I couldn't what find it. Was it in Brachot. Anyway, so the 1/500th of your eye of vision is lost. When you are in that, in doing a psia gasa, when you're running, it gets lost. 1/500th of your vision. Maybe that's why I'm wearing these glasses. I'm so blind. Anyway, so it says, the Gemara tells us though, what is it fix? How do you get it back? Is there any type of refuah? Is there any way to fix it, to heal it? No, actually it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says you should two different commentaries. It says you should kiddusha d'shapshi. Kiddusha d'shapshi, there are two different explanations what the kiddusha d'shapshi is. One is look into Kiddush Friday night. That's why there's a custom, if you'll see, when people are making Kiddush, when you say Borei Pri Gefen or Agafen, so you actually, when you say it, you look down into the wine. Right? And another, there's another custom that actually two people, do both. Before I start Kiddush, I'll turn, that's where the candle light is, and I'll turn to look at the candles. And that's the other opinion. So two opinions. One is to look at the candles, and one is to look into the wine. Both, and then also a third step, there's a third opinion I forgot to mention. One says, in Havdalah, when people spill the wine, some people do what? The Persians definitely go with putting in the pocket, right? That I get. No, but some people go like this to put it on the ring, you know, for to get them married. But really, the custom that comes out with this is the third example is they put it in the eye.
In their eye?
Like, you know, dab it. Not in the eye. Close their eye and dab it. Right? They dab it as make sure your eyes are closed. Yes. And just right up top the eyelids. Make sure it doesn't go in, it'll burn, right? Be careful. There's a warning on this label, right? Anyway, the idea of it, so what is the idea? Idea is I think, related in this story by Rabbi Tursky. Rabbi Tursky had a guest for Shabbat. Rabbi Tursky is a rabbi that built Jewish community in Milwaukee. Basically, he's a Hasidic rabbi. He comes from an illustrious family. I mean, all the biggest Hasidic rabbis that came from the Baal Shem Tov, a whole dynasty of them come from Tursky, the name Tursky. It's a famous name. They're also brilliant, known as brilliant people, amazingly brilliant people. Anyway, so one of the famous rabbi Rabbi Tursky went to Milwaukee in the middle of nowhere. You know, think about what is in Milwaukee, right? He goes to Milwaukee and he started a whole community there. A whole community, basically from scratch. And then you'll see like Hasidim, with like Peyot, and regular Jews, but in a part of his community in Milwaukee. So he said one of the times he relates, he had a person that was the first time coming for Shabbat. And as they were coming, they really didn't know anything, and they just came for Shabbat. And he's like, listen, they ran into Shul, who was there right before Shabbat. He's like, listen, I see you have, you know, his wallet's bulging out of his pocket. It's a different approach, not the LAJ approach, right? I probably wouldn't say anything. But he came up to him and said to him, listen, you know, Shabbat, we're not really supposed to carry our wallets around. You're staying for the Shabbat. Why don't you leave it here in the shul? And nothing's going to happen to it. You're fine. So the guy's a little bit nervous. You know, my wallet, this. But he's like, okay, you know, it's the shul. He's safe. He goes, don't worry about it. It's safe. No one's going to touch it. I'm going to take it here. You know, leave it in the rabbi's table over here. It's fine. It'll be fine. Okay, so the guy leaves it. And so Rabbi they're walking home after shul, and he asks them as he's walking home, you know, what is interests are, like, what do you do? Ask them, what are your interests? And the man became like nervous and like was gonna reach for his pocket because he was so used to giving his business card, right? Giving his business card. They became like nervous and tense, like, what do you mean? I don't have my business card. Where am I? And then he realized, wait a minute, again, he's not in the Shabbat mode. This is like his first Shabbat. He's like, where's my wallet? And he's like, oh, that's right. I left my wallet at shul. And I don't have business cards. It's in my wallet. And that's nothing. And then it's just Shabbat, right? What is Shabbat? What is Shabbat in essence?
Equalizer.
It's the essence of realizing and saying to do what? Think. It's God's way of coming to say, right? The IBM slogan. Thanks. You guys are already smart. Everyone's smart. We're all highly intelligent people. I gave you brains. I give you the ability to do what? Think. It's here. Think about what life is all about. What's your vision? Look into the candles. What are we looking into the candles for? When we look into the candles, we realize, what am I here for? What's the purpose? I stop. Everything in the world stops. It doesn't make a difference what your profession is on Shabbat. Scott said it beautifully. It's the equalizer. It doesn't make a difference if you're the CEO or if you're the janitor. Right? It doesn't make a difference if you're a trash collector or if you're the head of trading at Morgan Stanley. It doesn't matter if you're the biggest actor on the planet or you're someone that no one knows of. It's the equalizer. The answer is at that point to realize who, what you are, what you're here for, what's your role, what's your purpose. Because all that else melts away. All the exterior aspects of life now are in essence on Shabbat meaningless. Right? It melts down to your core. Now we get to the point of who are you now? One of the most difficult things for people when they have, let's say, a quote unquote normal Shabbat, not a big Shabbaton, not when there's a lot of fun and activity, and that's great. It's amazing. Those are great also, and I have nothing against it. Quite the opposite. There's a lot of fun, and that's a great way to have Shabbat. But a lot of times, sometimes it's also important to have not by yourself. That's what I mean. But have a more tame Shabbat. Let's say with a family and with a few other people, right? Why is that important? Because now all of a sudden, it could bring out who you are. You start to realize, okay, who you are. And it's maybe sad to say, but some people actually start flipping out. They're like, they can't take it. I gotta be busy. I gotta be on my phone. I gotta be active in something. I can't just be here in this moment. Why? Because it starts to realize I gotta figure out who this person inside me really is. Right? So at this point, it's super critical. What is the idea? What is the concept? What is the concept? The concept says, once we realize we're busy, we're so busy, we're running around, we're doing so many things, we're trying to get things done, but we don't have a purpose, we don't have a goal, we lose our sense of what?
Sight, vision.
We lose our sense of vision of where we're going, what our goal is, what our destiny is, what is our purpose here in this world, what am I doing here? Come Shabbat. How do you fix that? How do you get that back when you're running around all week, and you're so busy and trying to get things done? How do you get that sight? How do you get that vision back? Look into the candles on Shabbat. What are you lighting the candles for? Shalom bayit, building relationship. Candle. What do you do when you're trying to have a relationship? A romantic candle dinner, right? It's that relationship, rebuilding the relationship. When you're looking to Kiddush, what is Kiddush? Sanctifying the day, elevating the day. What are we elevating? That there's a God, that He created the world, and that we are giving testimony to that. That's what we're here for. What are you doing on Havdalah? Why are you putting that in your eyes? Because I'm saying just that experience that I realized on Shabbat, that I'm here for relationship. I'm here to build relationship. I'm here to connect to Hashem. I'm here to put my stake in this world and make it a better place and realize, yes, there is a God in this world and everyone should recognize it. And I'm here to carry that message and those goals and those values. What should I stand for? I'm here. That's me. That's what I'm in this world for. That's my purpose. And then I realized that, wow, you know, Havdalah comes. I'm going to the rest of the week. I take the wine, that message, I put it in my eyes because I tried to make sure that I have that same vision when? During the week. And I move through it with that goal and that purpose, and it comes around. Yes, we're going to forget. Monday's going to come, and you're going to be all crazy, and Tuesday, and then Wednesday, and Thursday, and then you're going to think, wow, I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to accomplish, and I got to be here, and I got to do this, I got to do all these things Thursday. And then comes Shabbos again, and rewind, remember, what are my purpose, what are my goal, what am I here for? And it all melts away to understand that inner role of what you're here for, what I am, and who I am. There was a Holocaust survivor. She left Poland by herself. Her parents sent her right as the war had begun. And they sent her on a boat to America to her family with the hope that she would get there, make enough money, and get the rest of the family out. They sent her to a distant cousins, right? Distant cousins in America. They barely knew them, but the cousins were nice enough to say, yes, we'll take the 12-year-old girl. And unfortunately, everyone else didn't make it. She was the only one. So by the end of the war, she was 16 years old, lost her entire family, and was with her basically distant cousins in America. And at 16 years old, back then, you were going to work, basically, unless you came from an extremely wealthy family. So right then, right after the war, 1945, she got a job in a warehouse called the Shmata business, right? The clothing industry. And at the time then in New York, a lot of the clothing industries, it was a 6-day work week, right? And Shabbos wasn't the day you got off. It was Sunday. So she got the job. She started Monday. Came Tuesday, came Wednesday, came Thursday, came Friday. On Thursday, it just kind of hit her that, wait a minute. What are we doing on Saturday here in the company? And the boss, who actually was Jewish, not observant, said, what do you mean, what do we do here on Saturday? Of course, the shop is open, you come to work. And the girl, who came from Poland, came from a very observant family, was observant. And her distant cousins in America were definitely not. And everyone was giving her the pressure. What do you mean? This is America. This is the new world. You know, we're still Jewish, but, you know, we don't keep Sabbath. We'll have a nice meal Friday night, but that's it. You got to go to work. This is the new world. Your old world family, you know, unfortunately is gone, but it's time to move into the 20th century and live like all the Jews in America. You know, the old school mentality is gone. I'm sorry. And she got massive pressure. And as she was going in to work, Friday, she didn't know what to do. The next day, what's she gonna do? She still didn't know. And Friday night, she with all the pressure, she just went to sleep crying, thinking she's gonna wake up and go to work the next day, because everyone was telling her, this is what we're doing. This is what, with no support network, with no back. And as she woke up in the morning, that night before she went to bed and said Shema, she said to Hashem, give me clarity, please. I just wanted clarity. If you can give me the strength and clarity, that's all I want. So she woke up and she said, I'm not going. She remembered her family in Poland. She remembered what Shabbat was like. She remembered all those experiences and everything that she had. She said, there's no way I'm going. And she told her family when they were screaming and yelling, you're crazy, they're going to fire you, you're done, you're going to have to get another job, what do you think this is, how do you think you're going to live, how do you think you're going to support anyone and make a family and doing all this. And it was the worst beating, verbal beating, abuse that she's faced in her life. But she stood strong and she said, I'm not going. She didn't go. And as Shabbat ended, she heard horrific news in that same warehouse where she was working in her little department. Something either electrical caught on fire. There was a massive fire in the warehouse, right in the corridor and room where she works in her small department. There was a total of I think 30 people that died from her department. It was 25. If she would have been there, she most likely would not have survived. Famous statement, more than the Jews have kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jews. The ideas, the ideals of how we live life, where we're going, what we're in this world for, who we are in essence. It comes in that, in understanding of the ideals of what we live for, what we stand for. We're running around like crazy, every single person. I've yet to meet someone in Los Angeles, in New York, in any big city that's not running like crazy. To do, to finish this, to finish that, to accomplish this, to accomplish that. Yeah, we should be. But it should be with a purpose, with a goal, with a building, and with an understanding and a clarity that every week we can come back and say, okay, we look at the candles, we look at the Kiddush, we put in our eyes on Avdalah, and we clearly understand where we're going, where we're heading, and who we are. Thanks for coming. Thanks for breaking through the traffic.